I hope there's this sense inside of you that just wants to scream, yes! I mean, what an incredible move of God. I'm so thankful for Vince and Amanda and their family and what God's doing in it. One of the beautiful things of sharing these kinds of stories is that the journey is not done, as they articulated so well. And so by sharing it, it gives us a chance to be a part of strengthening them and praying for them in their path towards endurance, in their path towards living this out every single day. Now, I think I can say with certainty tonight that endurance is one of the most difficult realities of our existence. It shows itself in all facets of life, and I'd like to highlight a few of those. I'm a big fan of Monopoly. Anybody else like you some Monopoly? And I've tried to pass that torch down to my family. We play quite a bit as a family. Endurance is hard, and especially when you start teaching kids Monopoly. I know my kids are watching tonight. I love you. But it's really frustrating when we start a game of Monopoly and I want to see it through, and for whatever reason, like give it 20, 25, 30 minutes, you know, someone scores a few key properties, and all of a sudden you hear someone say, I'm done with this. Like I'm done playing Monopoly. I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like things were just getting good. We were just starting to trade and stuff. Endurance is really hard. I know many of you are college students tuning in tonight, and communicate again that we miss you and love you. I know you'd agree with me that it's a whole lot easier to be fired up on day one of class than it is to walk into finals with a ton of zeal, right? We're generally great starters and struggle finishing. Let's talk about fitness, right? I don't even have to say anything. I mean, you already know what's going to be communicated. I mean, we come out of the gate, man, this year, I'm dropping 15. I'm going to start running every day. You name the thing. You wake up that first morning. I mean, I can't miss out on all that sleep, right? We don't really need to run the 3 miles today. We can start a little bit short. I mean, it's so difficult to have endurance. I think we're seeing that right now with how we're starting to get worn down in the realities of what we're dealing with a pandemic. I'll just speak for myself. It's certainly wearing me down. There's an element of, I don't know how much longer I can endure through this. And my situation is not even bad. I mean, it's hard to endure. How about pursuing the Lord in scripture reading? How many of you have started out with a Bible reading plan? And I mean, those first 5 days, it was fire, right? I mean, you were opening the Word. You were feasting from the scripture. It was so encouraging. And then day six, it was like, man, I don't know. I don't know how we can continue in all of this. And just in general, how about the endurance of following Christ? Well, that said, I'd like to start with an incredible text tonight to get our direction headed somewhere. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the whole Hebrews chapter 11 was filled with by faith statements. Men and women that had endured, trusted God. Therefore, since we're surrounded by all of these that have trusted and endured, let us also then, us, join in that lineage and lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And look at this, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There is certainly a race that's been set before us. And so my question tonight is, how do we endure everything? Just saying it sounds impossible. I mean, Mark, just in the examples you gave, I'm already struggling to believe that I can endure through 30% of the circumstances or realities in my life. What's going to happen tonight, my friends, is straight from the scripture, as we're going to get clues and glimpses and truth into how we can, in fact, endure through it all. I'm so excited to have you here with us. We're walking through 2 Timothy, Paul's final words. I know some of you are like, Mark, you say that every week, and it's important to be reminded of that. Because the backdrop of someone's last words are so incredibly significant. Yes, he's writing to his young disciple, Timothy. They spent many years co-laboring, investing into one another's life. And now let's look at the clues, the truth of how we can endure everything, beginning here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, Paul says, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, pointing to the reality that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And I love what he says here, as preached in my gospel, says Paul. Listen, he's not saying that he is the good news. When Paul says my gospel, he's not saying that the gospel is about him. He's saying that it's good news for his life. My gospel, the good news of Christ coming, Christ living perfectly, Christ dying, Christ being raised, and the promise of Christ's return, that good news, he says, is mine. Is it yours? Is that the same news that drives every facet of your life? We get the impression that this kind of good news is driving every piece of Paul. And so we're going to make six statements, all centered around how do we endure everything, that will come straight from each of these verses. So it will be of no surprise to see statement number one from verse 8. We endure everything by remembering the resurrection. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, so certainly Paul says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, but what does that have to do with endurance? Well, listen, we've been building this week in and week out. Timothy is under duress in Ephesus. That's where he is. He's ministering. Trial is bearing down on him. Persecution from Nero and the Roman Empire is coming after him. We can get gather the impression from Paul's writing that Timothy might even be struggling to stay sure. And so his whole message so far has been endure. Be strengthened, keep going, fan the flame of your gift, Timothy. And so with that theme driving the entire letter, he then enters, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. So why would remembering the resurrection produce in us a level of endurance? Victory, that's why. Victory has so much connection with endurance. Think of the opposite, right? Defeat. Think of the times in your life, in athletics, in your career, in parenting, in marriage, where you've started to feel defeated. And that has led to, I don't know if I can keep going. I'm at a loss. I'm done. You start to hear the lies of the enemy. Just give up, right? Defeat is so connected with a lack of endurance. But on the other side, victory. Christ conquering death. Christ then bearing our sin. Christ freeing us from the shackles that once held us. The promise, as we've already mentioned, of his return. That is the victorious chant of the church, my friends. It's that victory that prompts endurance. Well, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. I've had many people ask me, all right, Mark, so practically speaking, how can it be Easter every day? Well, you don't need to have a wardrobe change, okay? For those of you that were watching on Easter, I did dress up a little bit, put on a little bit of a colored shirt. I was wearing some pants instead of holy jeans, okay? You don't need to change your wardrobe. For those of you that would like to embrace remembering the resurrection, then it seems only fitting to remember that victory that you would read consistently the account of the resurrection. Listen, let me tell you something. Every single time I read one of the accounts in the Gospels and on the first day of the week and early in the morning, and as I begin to recall the account, I mean, my heart starts to beat fast. Yes, there are days that I'm more hardened or distanced. But listen, anytime I need a defibrillator, anytime I need a shock to my heart, I'm back to reading the resurrection. So just some encouragement. If you'd like to remember the victory that you have, why don't you start by days and weeks of just beginning your day with Easter morning all over again. No wardrobe change needed, just claiming victory in a risen king. The other thing practically that I would encourage you is to surround yourself with people who walk in victory. Now, certainly, those aren't going to be the only people in your life. You know that to be true, right? There are some people that are around you where it's all defeat all the time. It's all about them all the time. It's all the ways that things are downtrodden. It pushes you down. It's suffocating. I mean, there's just some folks that are really battling through that. And again, we can help them, be gracious to them, encourage them. Maybe we can be the voice of more or the person of victory in their life. But it is so key to get around some people that are just celebrating the risen king, that aren't afraid to talk about Christ resurrected. That when you get around them, they don't think that it's cliche to look you in the eye and say, what a joy that the tomb is empty today. I desperately need those kinds of people in my life. And I would say the same for you. And so how do we endure everything? Well, Paul's encouraging Timothy to endure. And so he says, remember the resurrection. Now, verse 9 takes an interesting turn. Look what he says here in verse 9. Remember, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound by chains as a criminal, which I think we can only surmise that quite literally right now he's bound with a literal chain. Look what he says. But the word of God is not bound. Come on, somebody. Listen, I know I can't hear you, but somebody better be amening right now. But the word of God is not bound. Now, take note of this. Paul doesn't say, listen, turn back while you have a chance, Timothy. You can still get out of this, man. Save your life. Turn it around. Just walk the other way. He doesn't say that ever. He just keeps a consistent, thorough message. Timothy, it's all worth it. Every piece of this suffering is worth it, Timothy. So endure. So how do we endure everything? Well, Paul tells us. By trusting nothing stops God's word. You can burn it. You can outlaw it. You can ignore it. And my friend, you can deny it. But there ain't nobody that's gonna stop it. It's still going to move. It's never going to return void. It's continually going to transform. It's always going to penetrate hearts around us, opening us up, exposing us before the Lord, and drawing us near to Him. You can't stop. The enemy can't stop. A culture can't stop. A country can't stop God's word. Been doing some research on this facet, reading again on the worldwide persecuted church, and my assumption is some of you are aware of this, but in North Korea, Bibles are entirely banned. You can be incarcerated or killed by just having a Bible on your person. And yet, if you read the salvation accounts in North Korea, people are still coming to Christ as the message of God is being spread verbally, as scriptures are finding their way into underground churches and into homes through the cracks of doors. You cannot stop God's word. So what does that have to do with endurance? Well, why would Paul encourage us with this as it pertains to endurance? Well, you'll never endure if your foundation is sinking sand, right? We can agree. I know I can't see you nodding your head, but we can agree with that, correct? You set your foundation on sinking sand. Where is the endurance in that? You're well-wishing. You're hoping for the best. You're setting it on things that seem to provide some sort of comfort. When, my friend, when we set our assurance on this ancient yet unbelievably relevant, living and active text, we set our hope in something that is sure and proven and therefore prompting endurance. Be encouraged, my friend. Now, verse 10, again, another interesting turn. Therefore, he says, and the word therefore is always critical in the scripture, connecting the things around it. Look at this. I endure everything, he says. This is where we're getting our language. I endure everything, Paul says. Now, we've talked about this at great length, both in our study of 2 Timothy, and you go back and look at some of our previous teachings, if you read the scripture. Paul has endured incredible amounts. And he says, I endure everything. It's not that they're not hard or difficult. It's not that he doesn't grieve. What he's saying is, in spite of all of the hardship, I keep pressing on. When it would be easy to white flag it, when it would be easy in the defeat to retreat, instead, I keep pressing on. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the, there's the Christian cuss word, elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We'll deal with the end. Let's first deal with the word elect. I say it's the Christian cuss word because for whatever reason, people think that just by reading that word, that it creates some sort of controversy. I just want to encourage you, for anyone who the word elect is a stumbling block for, I just want to ask you, what should we do with it? Are we supposed to like go in our scriptures and erase the word? Just because you have a difficult time with the word elect, or a difficult time forgiving and loving those who have harmed you, are we just supposed to negate those pieces of the scripture? And I know what some of you are saying, but Mark, I know you use the English Standard Version, the ESV, of the scripture. Mark, I'm more of an NIV guy, and the NIV gets it right. Okay, well, here's what the NIV says. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, is what the NIV says, that they too may obtain the salvation, and on and on. And I know what some of you are thinking, but Mark, listen, I'm more old school. I like me some King James Version. Mark, okay, no problem. Here's what the King James Version says. Therefore, I endure all things for, now we see the plural, the elect's sakes. Say that three times, okay. So we can't run from the word, nor can we run from the person, the sovereign king. So before we see the end of the text, I want to point your attention to what Paul is reminding Timothy of. It's what Ephesians chapter 1 makes so clear. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You don't need a lean towards a specific theology just to read the scripture. That's all we're doing. We're just reading the word together. Let's read it, okay? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Note this, in love, verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. God is pursuing and saving. He is the agent of salvation, the initiator of salvation. And as for me and my house, that prompts me to worship, not run away from it. And so what does this have to do with endurance? Well, Paul makes clear. How do we endure everything? By longing for the salvation of the lost. Remember what the end of verse 10 says? I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. He's saying, elect or not, I am telling everybody about Jesus. God's gonna work it out, and I'll trust that. But I am going to pursue and tell every single person I possibly can with a beating heart, I think Paul would say, about the power of Christ. We endure everything by longing for the salvation of the lost. Mark, what does that have to do at all with enduring through everything? Well, how many of you feel purposeless? I would even say maybe this time has made some of that buoyant. I've struggled with it, looking around, like I'm so out of rhythm. Yes, learning new ones, but battling to navigate through it. You know what feeling purposeless does to you. It causes idle time. It causes those same feelings of defeat. But oh friend, when we have clarity of purpose, clarity of mission, when what God has called us to do is so crystal clear, doesn't it wake you up in the morning? Come on. Doesn't it wake you up in the morning and say, I know exactly what today will bring. It doesn't matter whether I'm in the grocery store or in my office building, or even in my car with my child, at home with my family, on the phone with grandpa and grandma. It doesn't matter. My purpose is the same, to share the gospel as an ambassador of Christ in all things. And when you have that longing inside of you, oh, the endurance that flows from being clear with mission and purpose. It gives daily purpose to this life, and we desperately need that as endurance can so quickly wane. Now, verse 11, 12, and 13 are really significant as he turns now to what probably was a hymn in the early church. He's going to maintain the same line of thinking of endurance. He's just going to give us a little bit of a different angle on it. Let's start here in verse 11. The saying is trustworthy. Again, you can feel the hymn nature of this. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Now, I think he's talking about two kinds of death with him and life with him. The first would be what we've been talking about, even last week, embracing suffering. That we would be joy-filled in suffering for the cause of Christ, even if it meant our entire life. So yes, I think there's an aspect of martyrdom here. I also think there's a reality of what Romans chapter 6 says. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in verse 4, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Look at verse 5, bring some clarity to this. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, look at this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 11 said, remember, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. So what does this have to do with endurance? How do we endure everything? Through full allegiance to Christ. Can I ask you how you've done with half-hearted commitment to things? Right, like anytime you begin to feel your commitment towards a relationship, maybe towards discipleship, maybe towards the mission in your neighborhood, maybe in stuff in your career, anytime you begin to get half-hearted in your commitment, your allegiance to that thing suffers. And so many of us are dealing with this tension that's been created inside of us. I want to live for Jesus, I think. I'd like to worship God, I think. But at the same time, I still wanna feast from these aspects of my flesh. I still wanna pursue the things of the world. And so you're like, you're caught in this epic game of tug of war, and you're in an identity crisis. You're trying to figure out even who you are, right? But with full allegiance to Christ, loving him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, like Matthew chapter 22 says, not devoid of struggle, not even devoid of sin. We will battle. But when our allegiance is full, give me Jesus or give me death. I want nothing more but you. You are what satisfy. I have everything that I could ever have in relationship with you. When that kind of allegiance is seen, oh, the endurance! Our eyes aren't taken to our left and to our right. The beauty of Christ has our attention. The awe of God is what is bringing our heart into worship. We're laying down the idolatry of the things of the flesh because they don't provide. We are fully convinced, fully convinced. And so therefore, fully allegiant. And so I want you to gauge your allegiance to Christ tonight. And I think then you'll begin to see maybe why endurance is so incredibly difficult in this race that we've been called to run. Now, verse 12, and we're gonna party on verse 12. I mean it. I wish we could have like set up some sort of streamers and, you know, noisemakers, New Year's Eve style for verse 12. Look at this. If we endure, we also reign with him. Are you kidding me? If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Now, there's three scriptures that I want to show you right now. And I'm serious. I am so, so incredibly encouraged by how the New Testament talks about endurance and the promises that come with it. Just like this promise. If we endure, we will also reign with him. I mean, I don't know what kind of promise you want tonight that would be more encouraging. So listen, let's start here in Romans 8. We're camping out in Romans tonight. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider, this is so awesome, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I mean, come on. The sufferings of this present time. You ready for 1 Peter 5? Probably not. I mean, look at this unbelievable text. And after you have suffered a little while in the here and now, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. It's the way Peter describes the same kind of thought. If we endure, we'll also reign with him as a co-heir in Christ. And finally, my favorite, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Feel free to tap this somewhere. Put it on a wall in your house. Look at this. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. Let's read it together. Come on. Beyond all comparison. I mean, Paul's writing to the persecuted church, but the truth of it has implications in the here and now. This light, momentary affliction. Listen, here's what verse 18 goes on to say. Be encouraged. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal, friend. And so what does all of this have to do with endurance? I cannot wait to tell you. How do we endure everything? Through resting in his promises. If we endure, we'll reign with him. This light, momentary affliction doesn't even compare to the glory. Wow. While fearing the promise keeper. Mark, what do you mean by fearing? I appreciate the question. I mean respecting. Not fearing the person that would cause us to say, I don't want to be near to you. No. But believing that when he says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Listen, for those of you that have spent your life or the last months completely denying the truth and reality of Christ, I just want to make sure you understand what the scripture says. If we deny him, he will also deny us. I mentioned earlier, I've been really stirred by the worldwide church. I've been reading story after story of how the church is continuing to show its life in areas and countries of great persecution in spite of what's happening in our culture. Why is that happening? Because the word is not bound, friend. That's why. This is Reverend Levon Ondimi, a pastor and father of nine in Nigeria, unwilling to deny the name of Jesus to a radical Islamic group that came into his village, unwilling to ignore Christ, unwilling to turn his back, fully willing to endure, fully desiring to forsake all else, to share in the lineage of the sufferers that had gone before him, He was quoted as saying this in January, "I'm at peace with death because Jesus is still alive." And so when the radical Islamic group came into his village and abducted him, it only took 18 days, 18 times daily, not giving in and enduring. And the father of nine and pastor in Nigeria was beheaded because of his endurance. Can you imagine in the waning moments of his life, cycling through his head, his children, the church that he was passionate for shepherding? And then I have to think what crosses his heart and his mind in those waning moments is a promise like this: if I endure, I will also reign with him. If I deny him, he will deny me. And so I will not deny. I will embrace suffering. I will find myself in the lineage of the thousands upon thousands that have gone before me, unwilling to compromise. Friend, is that you? Is that you? And if so, the promise is something that I hope infiltrates your heart tonight with absurd amounts of joy. If you endure, you will also reign with him. Well, finally, in this hymn, this series of powerful texts, verse 13, an often quoted piece of scripture: if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let me tell you why this is so remarkable and so encouraging. It does not matter how many people look us in the face and say, your God is ridiculous. The concept of your God is untrue. There's no possible way his son first came and secondarily rose from the dead. You've made this up to make yourself feel better about life after death. You are a fool, the world tells us. What I love is it doesn't matter how many people deny or how many times you've betrayed, or how many times a group of people have said, we hate you, God. None of that changes who he is. It's one of the greatest facets of our worship. He is unchanging. Our entire neighborhood could call us a fool and our God ridiculous, and yet it would not change his character. He cannot deny himself. And when all else is faithless, he remains faithful. What does this have to do with endurance? How do we endure everything? Come on. Through his endurance. One of my favorite scriptures, spelling out the character of God. Another opportunity to look at Romans chapter 15, verse 5. May the God of what? Come on. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ. His character, in his character, is endurance. In his character is encouragement. How do we endure through everything? Through his endurance. when he should have left us for dead. When he should have left us in the coffin of our sin. With that first betrayal, when he should have said, I want nothing to do with you. When Christ came, I mean, he's in his hometown, and his hometown's not even accepting him. He's sitting with those who are desperate for love, and yet the religious leaders are condemning him. All of those instances that we see in the life of Christ and we watch in the patience of God with the nation of Israel, all of those combined, it could have just taken one of those for God to say, I'm done. I'm done with this nation. I'm done with this people. I'm done with you. I'm done with these religious leaders. I'm just done. And wipe out everybody. And instead, all the way to the cross, all the way. Not stopping in the garden as he prays drops of blood. Not stopping with the lashings, not stopping with the ridicule, not stopping with the spear in his side, enduring. And so I hope what some of you are wondering then is how then, Mark, do I endure right now? I've been with you, Mark, in those six statements. I see Paul clearly mapping out what we can take a hold of. But Mark, you don't know what I'm going through right now. What's your now? Because for all of us, though we're unified with a global piece of hindrance, there's still a lot of specific nows. What is your now? What are you struggling to endure? What are you feeling defeated in? Where has hopelessness taken root? What's caused you to regress back into sin, looking for hope? What's your now? Well, I'd like to summarize everything that Paul communicated to Timothy. With chains around his being from a cold cell, he commissions his disciple to endure. How can I endure right now? One truth summarizes it all. By following Jesus. Mark, that seems obvious. No, it's not. No. If it were obvious, then the evidence would be clear. The evidence would be insurmountable if this was obvious. We'd quickly forsake all else, and we would follow Jesus, submitting to his words, walking as he walked, loving who he loved, extending grace and mercy. We'd watch his path and follow suit. We find our steps in his. We would follow him. You see, I think something that's plaguing Christendom, the culture that you and I live in, is this: I can have Jesus and not follow him. I can attend worship gatherings and not follow him. I can make my heart feel as though I'm sufficing some lengthy list of rules and regulations and do-goods without following him. And yet Jesus walks by a lake. And he looks at a bunch of men who are going to have to endure great, horrific things. And he looks at them and he says, "Come and follow me. Go where I go. Say the things that I say. Leave behind any facet of sin in your life and follow me." And where will we follow him to? Endurance. The king who didn't stop. The God who keeps going. The one who's unchanging. The one who we get to see with our eyes and read and be infiltrated with the truth of God's unbound word, that he continued in the face of great trial. That's what we're following. The God who hasn't given up on you. The God who still says tonight, "You can be my son or daughter. Call on my name." More than accepting me, follow me. And then, when all of this is said and done, your life, upon his return, or in the waning days of your life, oh, the joy of in those moments hearing again the promise, "If we endure, we will also reign." God, produce endurance in us. We confess we've been so quick to give up or fall back. We want to endure this season. We long to endure the nows of our existence. So God, give us eyes to see and a heart to trust where it is that you're leading. Lead us, God. Give us courage to submit. And give us passion, God, to fully follow. Move, God, right now. Move, God. Yes, Lord.